It's been very exciting for me. It's kind of the right place at the right time. I met Governor Doyle 5 years ago up in the Fox Cities as a part of my international practice, working with a number of partners. We had a global practice that worked in about 30 states here in the U.S. and a number of foreign countries. And during that 23-year period of time, I had the opportunity to work with the Pori Group and Fluor Corporation both, which were very, very large organizations. At the end of our transaction in 2005, we had over 60 companies in 40 countries around the world, and we're doing a number of different projects, primarily in the world of consulting, architecture, engineering, process engineering, construction management, and the like, and have had the great fortune during my career of 33-plus years to get exposed to a number of different initiatives. I was on U.S. Bank Board for 23 years. I was involved in a startup of another bank up in the Fox Cities, which is a smaller startup company. Worked for 12 years with the Chamber of Commerce. Worked for 3 years as their Vice Chairman for Economic Development. I participated and was a member of the St. Elizabeth Hospital, the Wheaton Franciscan Systems Hospital Group, and served on an HMO insurance board and a number of other regional and local businesses besides their own family businesses. And the governor 5 years ago asked me to join him in working on the international collaboration and connection for our state, and I joined the Wisconsin International Trade Council group. This WITCO group is made up of a number of businesses, manufacturers, and service sector folks that connect and promote international trade. And as you know, under the governor's initiatives and the great fortune we've had in the last 4 or 5 years, we've grown our export activities in the state of Wisconsin by over 60%. The initiatives that the governor's put together are really a number of very common sense strategies to help Wisconsin. The governor has done a wonderful job putting together a combination of very, very thoughtful programs that stimulate our two primary pieces that are so important to Wisconsin, both our agricultural piece and our manufacturing roots. In addition, since the governor participated in the first program of Grow Wisconsin, we repealed the tax on job creation. We've simplified and streamlined many of the regulation programs. And I can tell you how important these are. As a consultant who represented a lot of national and international companies, we quite often were brought into different states based on their agenda and their program and what they wanted to see tied together strategically for their business growth. And quite often, it was timing. It was timing from the ability to bring their product and their process to the table. Our company participated in the development of the Post-it product, which is the little 3M product and design product. Looked at, 10, 15 different states, ended up with 5 or 6, ultimately grew and ended up with a number of buildings and programs in 5 different locations. But it's really important that the governor paid attention to this to simplify and streamline the regulation, because for many of our industries and manufacturers, that was a very, very important part of their ability to continue to grow, foster new innovative ideas, and bring their product to the marketplace. So these programs have been very important. The export increase of over 60% has been an important piece for the state of Wisconsin. Obviously, we've been very fortunate to add a number of manufacturing jobs in the state during these very challenging times. When you look and compare across the United States, we've lost about 116,000 manufacturing jobs. The state of Wisconsin was able to continue to hold itself, hold its own, and actually grow in that cycle. The Grow Wisconsin piece, which is a part of some of the next steps, really have this priority on agriculture and manufacturing. And as many of you know who have listened to some of the governor's programs, there are 6 primary components to the ag piece that is being supplemented and pushed at this time to really ensure that we continue to be a global leader in the agricultural arena. And we are, and we're doing a lot of wonderful things in this area. The concept of these programs is to leverage approximately $200 million in both total public and private investment initiatives, which will really help to stimulate and continue to keep us on a very leading-edge initiative for our ag activities. Apart from the manufacturing perspective, which is really critical and important, is to continue to ensure that we really are dealing with some of the highest paying jobs and good benefits to promote and deal with our skilled workers. I was fortunate last week to be up in Oshkosh and participated in a small company, 3 or 4 years old, that was purchased by three individuals. And to walk into that company and to see the great manufacturing roots of Marvel Manufacturing, a company that does world-class equipment that cuts 3-foot-thick steel, selling and working with Boeing and all of the manufacturers throughout the Midwest, but now at a pace to grow internationally, at a new pace. And to see those 125 manufacturing people on the floor understanding why that business is so successful, all you have to do is look at the root of the people in Wisconsin. You know, they're strong, they're innovative, they come to work every day, they don't complain, they stay focused on their jobs, they don't pay attention to sick days, they come to work. And that is a very magical thing in Wisconsin, that our people here continue to work and work hard and to do what's really necessary for our manufacturers. The governor's programs recognizes this and has implemented a number of initiatives, including expanding the Wisconsin Manufacturing Extension Partnership. This is this $1.2 million program to support and expand the number of manufacturers working to get lean. As a consultant, I worked in over 1,500 manufacturing sites in my career. In Wisconsin, I've worked in probably over 200 manufacturing locations. For the very, very large company, the manufacturing sector understands and gets the whole lean concept and is incorporating it and has for years. But for the smaller and mid-sized companies, the manufacturers that are growing in some of our best job-producing companies, they need the stimulus, the expertise, the counsel, and the support to continue to look at what they can do in the lean world. And the governor has put in place the support and concept of $750,000 that we're investing to assist these companies in adopting these lean manufacturing programs, which will also be coupled and supported by $500,000 in the federal arena as well. This is really critical work. This is important work, because if we can promote another 100 manufacturers to foster innovation and to support the actual continuing lean concepts inside their companies, they will innovate, they will continue to grow, and they will expand jobs. A great example of this is a small company up in Green Bay. My home was Appleton. I spent my life in Appleton and traveling around the world and throughout the United States, and it was always wonderful to come back to Wisconsin. But with my construction roots, our family business goes back to 1949. I started my first business when I was a senior in high school, and it was in the construction and design world. And I moved through that process understanding that mentoring and relationships were so critical to your success. The concept of these lean initiatives, like the governor is promoting, looking at people like LaForce Hardware, who supplies hardware to the construction industry, allowed them to step back and look at what their leg and length times were for deliveries. They were sitting out there in their mind way too long, relevant to what they wanted to deliver to their suppliers and contractors and customers. And with the initiation of lean programs and thinking, they brought themselves to the point that they saved over $200,000 for a small business, put an additional $100,000 into their profitability model for their company. But more importantly, they went from 8-week or 7-week kind of deliverables down to 4- and 5-week complete internal deliverables, which obviously is still very meaningful for their ultimate customers. And the small company who is working daily to deal with all of the issues in front of them don't have the resources, nor the depth, nor the expertise. And so these programs being initiated by the governor, we believe, will bring at least another 100 additional companies to the table to implement lean methodology and considerations. We want to continue to promote the innovation and acceleration of the investment for our businesses. Wisconsin must continue to invest in its R&D. There's a number of numbers and statistics out there, but to just briefly mention a few. The state of Wisconsin is spending on average about 1.3 or so in their R&D sector on development work. The nation on average expends more than that in the manufacturing research and development area. Our wonderful neighbors to the west, I'm sure, any Viking fans in here? I hope not. Anyway, our friends to the west in Minnesota spend about 1.6 plus percent of their, and to some degree, when you look at over the last 4 or 5 years, have doubled the numbers that we've done in Wisconsin. We need to continue to get our manufacturers to invest in this research and development area, and that's why the governor has recognized this, and Governor Doyle's done a fantastic job in recognizing this, and we're really working towards fostering this research and development to improve not only our existing products, but to really expand the innovative side, to come up with new ideas. And with that, the governor has three initiatives that he's promoted. The first is to create this new Innovate tax credit. The concept for that is to have the companies increase spending on their research and development. And those that increase their R&D by 25% over the three-year average will create and be able to utilize these new innovative tax credits. The second piece is to extend the manufacturing sales tax exemption. This will be used to cover all the equipment that's used for the research and development piece inside the companies. And the third is to create the property tax exemption for equipment that will be used in the research and development area. These are very important initiatives, once again, to foster and to grow and to stimulate our Wisconsin businesses to be innovators and to be strong and to compete on a national and international basis. The next piece of the plan is this plan rolls out is called Accelerate Wisconsin. It really is to support our new business ventures. In my previous life, prior to 14 weeks ago, I spent the good part of that helping from the standpoint of financial participation. It is critical that our businesses that are small and growing have the ability to receive the wonderful financial support that we have in the state from the many different levels of banking and groups. But through the process of the last 10 years, most of you here know that the Angel and Venture Fund piece of Wisconsin has kind of been slow to grow. And we've been doing some wonderful things under the Governor Doyle's leadership to continue to attract investment and angel funds to the state. And today we're growing at an all-time pace. We've got some real record numbers that we're rolling with. But I can tell you this, having invested in a venture and startup club in my previous life, when you sit around the table with a dozen individual people like yourselves, business leaders and executives, and you look across the table and you look at 15 different profiles of startup companies, and we're rich with these in Wisconsin, you know that one of these hopefully will become a home run. You realize that 5 or 6 of these are going to go bankrupt. You realize that 3 or 4 of these companies will probably limp along and do all right, and another 2 or 3 will go at a pace that you're comfortable investing in. Now, I can tell you from sitting in those meetings and in those sessions that, like everyone in life, even those who wish to invest into that kind of model still have concerns about their result and their return. And even though their motives are still connected appropriately to jobs and growth and supporting businesses that are new, at the end of the day, they expect a payout, and they should. As a part of that, the governor was very, very supportive in putting together the original Act 255 tax credits. These tax credits have evolved and have been very, very meaningful for the people as they make the decisions on some of the riskier ventures. I was fortunate the other day to go to Selectar. Is that the proper name, Tony? Selectar?
Yes, that's right.
And visited that business during an open house. And when you sit and you listen to their story and their model, and you talk about a small company that's growing over time that now has 18 to 28 people associated with them, that has to work literally from a 7 to 10 year window and timeline and invest over $100 million into that company to know at the end of the day they're going to make a difference in the world, not only for their business, but also, in a sense, medically, that they're touching the whole world of cancer. It's just a phenomenal story. And it's really important that programs like this Act 255 are there and are growing and are available to supplement the angel and investment and venture groups that want to make that risky commitment, that want to support those ventures that are so important to our businesses, that we continue to allow that to happen. And the governor's programs have initiated that with doubling the funding for the accelerated grant and loan program, $5 million for the seed money, and grants for the startup companies and small companies, which will allow us to match millions of dollars in federal funds and outside investment. These three programs are to create a capital gains reinvestment initiative. It'll allow for a tax exemption for these individuals and partnerships that will allow themselves to reinvest in the long-term gains in qualified Wisconsin businesses. It'll make tax-credible investment more flexible. This is a really critical piece to this concept. We need to be more flexible inside of the program, and it will allow our entrepreneurs to receive up to $4 million in tax-credible investment from any mix of angel or investment funds. And lastly, to continue the Accelerate Wisconsin tax credits, the budget expands the angel investment piece to allow for us, we are hopeful over the time by 2015, for an additional $100 million available in tax credits, but more importantly, will stimulate an additional $400 million in leverage from the private sector for these investments. These are some of the specific initiatives that the governor's programs are supporting and promoting, and we're getting a lot of support by numerous individuals and folks from both sides of the aisle, and they're really, really important initiatives at a challenging time. There are a number of other programs that the governor is supporting, like improving the state regulatory climate, which I can tell you there are a number of things taking place there. In my 14 weeks, have sat inside of our wonderful organization and been impressed, number one, by the quality of the staff and the leadership. But number two, taking a look at these initiatives, I've asked that we really step back and say, what have these accomplished? What have they done? And we put together a wonderful supportive paper talking about how these programs are making a difference under Governor Doyle, how they're growing the economy, what these programs are doing relevant to streamlining our responsiveness inside of each one of our businesses, our DNR's responsiveness to our programs in a combined sense. And it is very meaningful to take a look at these initiatives. And then the last piece that I just want to mention is this exciting piece, which over time will continue to grow jobs. It's this continued commitment and investment in our bioeconomy. Many of you here are aware of this, but you know, this new bioeconomy truly holds a rich opportunity for the state of Wisconsin to expand and foster new businesses, new high-end businesses, and new innovation. And it's far-reaching. You know, it has the ability to help us in so many different ways. And the governor's recognized that. And Wisconsin will invest over $150 million over the next 10 years in renewable production and business promotion, provide a new tax credit for the biodiesel fuel producers, and support many of these exciting initiatives like the new Great Lakes Bioenergy Center. These are all very, very meaningful programs. We need all of your help with making sure that these programs continue and are supported. I'm a person from 33 plus years from the private sector. I have zero political experience. I've stepped into this, and in a very short period of time, I understand the richness and the passion that Governor Doyle has to grow jobs in Wisconsin. And we need to, as a group, understand how we can come together and support all these programs and find common ground in leading us down this path so we continue to grow and add the strength and the jobs in these very challenging times that sit inside our Wisconsin and actual national economy. So having said that, I appreciate the chance to coming and speak and give you a few of these programs. I'm happy to answer any really, really simple questions. Remember, it's 14 weeks. And all in all, for our guests over here, we have some wonderful guests that need to be introduced at the table. We flew them in yesterday. They got stuck in our wonderful O'Hare International Airport and have joined us here today, which is wonderful. This is our typical Wisconsin weather. We welcome you to Wisconsin, and we hope you enjoy your stay. Why don't you take a moment and just introduce our guests, unless we've had a chance to do that.
Okay. My name is Michael Bright, and I'm the British Consul for Wisconsin. And I have with me today Patrick Holditch from the Foreign Office in London, and Tim Wood from the British Embassy in Washington, D.C.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Jack, I'd like it if you would just expand a little bit on the last point you made. Your 30 years in the private sector, your lack of experience in the political world, and I want to know how that, what kind of response you're getting from the business leaders, from the corporate leaders in Wisconsin when you come to talk with them. Do they feel like they can talk the same language, that they've got an ear here that really understands what they're going through, but then do they also understand how that translates in terms of political action and your ability to interpret their needs for Governor Doyle and the administration in terms of getting things done in this state?
That's a great question. I guess a couple of things. First of all, they've been very welcoming. A lot of these people are friends of old and friends of new. And I've been very fortunate to touch a lot of businesses' life because of my consulting experience through the years in our family businesses. But they've been really engaging. The first 2 weeks when I got on the job, I told people I'm going to spend weeks listening. And people looked at me, and then they started to write about me and said, new Commerce Secretary of State of Wisconsin is going to be a listener. And it's just great, great ink. It was wonderful. But the reality was, I do believe that is one of the most important tools that anybody in a leadership role must bring. We need to listen to the businesses. We need to listen to everyone that sits inside of this powerful state of Wisconsin from an economic development perspective. I've met with literally hundreds of individuals in this period of time that have reflected on what they felt is good about Wisconsin, where they feel some of our challenges lie in Wisconsin, what they feel some of our most important traits are inside of Wisconsin, and how they're willing to step up and help us continue to tie and collaborate and connect these businesses and opportunities together. That's been impressive. It's been very enjoyable. I've listened and learned. I've asked them how they've touched commerce. If they have, what could we do different? I've really reached out to them. And through that collaborative conversation, there's a number of things that are coming forward in a very quick period of time. And I've told them that the state of Wisconsin needs these businesses to be actively engaged and helpful. We're developing a new extended stakeholders list that's become a part of our program and extending in so many different ways from the university levels right through private business and into all of our different economic groups. Some of these groups, like, for example, our regionalized groups, whether they be Thrive here in the greater Madison area or the M7 over in Milwaukee or the New North PEEP up in northeastern Wisconsin, the 18-county New North program. We have the Central Group up out of the Wausau-Weston areas. We have the Momentum Group over in Eau Claire. We have the New North in the greater part of Wisconsin. We spent time listening to them and listening to their leaders and listening to their programs and their initiatives. Give you a simple example. You take like New North, the 18-county region. They have over 350 businesses already participating actively in this very young, growing economic development initiative. They're hands-on. They have great leadership. They've got outstanding board members, as do all of the groups. And they're driving an agenda to allow us to be very, very thoughtful and very, very focused for the economy of Wisconsin. And they're providing their feedback, connecting with us and allowing all these different groups to come together in a very collaborative way. Commerce's role is to try to take a look at all of the groups across the state and how we can touch in cooperative programs and initiatives what's good for all of the groups in the state. the regional emphasis obviously becomes very focused for them, and each one of those groups in their areas complement their sectors, like the medical sector and supplier sector that's up in the northwest part, up in the Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley area. Our great bio sector, the biomedical sector here in the Madison region, the strong, strong manufacturing routes in the Milwaukee region, and the mixture of programs that are being pursued up in New North, like the wind energy and these other new plays, are all very, very meaningful. And I have been greeted warm, like all of us do in Wisconsin, with open arms, with a great attitude. And I've told them that we're going to ask for help at certain times, and they've extended their hand of help. So it's been very exciting.
I'd love for you to give more examples of what you're hearing from some of these businesses. But I want to ask a specific question, because I want to know what you're hearing from them in regards to into this balance that you need to determine between growing our own and attracting new businesses here. I mean, all of the strategies that you've talked about are great, but they don't really indicate a specific direction here, and you've got to kind of balance that. What's the approach to that balance you're taking right now?
Well, we have four specific focused elements to our commerce agenda and priorities. The first one is what I'm going to call retention. The retention piece is critical. We're evolving to support the initiatives the governor has placed. And from a retention sense, that we are listening, and everybody here understands, I believe, that we get the most dollar and support out of our dollars looking at the retention model. As a general comment, 80%+ of jobs come from small and mid-sized growing companies. They're the most effective companies. They're in the model, and the relationships are very strong. So many of our programs are supporting the retention philosophy of growth. The second piece is the investment piece, or the outside groups that are coming into play, which are very important for us. What we're doing there strategically is we're looking at, from listening to the clusters and the groups inside of the state economic groups, and establishing areas that we know we are some of the finest and best and most supportive in our sector, in the state, in the world. As an example, the biomedical group, we put together this Pfizer visit, which is playing tremendous results, where we had some 30 businesses screened to 25. Pfizer came in and take a look at the programs, spent 25 minutes with a pre-screen approach that Commerce put in place with the help of many other groups, and brought these people to their outside strategic planning initiatives. Seven people came in from Pfizer, sat down, interviewed. The feedback that we're receiving today is around 15 companies will continue to have the opportunity in our medical and biomedical area to be looked at, to be teamed with, and to partner with Pfizer over the next multitude of years. Now, when you think about this, we were told by Pfizer that the state of Wisconsin was the best model they've ever touched in this regard. They have over 350 existing contracts, have about $1 billion today in Wisconsin that they're supporting, have an outreach of over 1,800 contracts nationally with relationships, and now today there's another 10 to 15 new businesses inside of Wisconsin in this global sector that we're connected to, that are very meaningful and will have very meaningful and real results for our businesses over the next period of years. The piece that's a part of that complement is you need to understand that when you look at sectors like this biomedical group, 10 years ago we had few jobs. Today we have 25,000 jobs. We had a handful of businesses 10 years ago. Today we have over 325 businesses throughout Wisconsin supporting this sector. We went from very little revenue to over $8 billion in revenue in that short 10-year period of time in one sector. This is a world-class sector that I am told by researchers outside of the state that we are one of the five leading places in the world that is complementing and connecting to the biomedical component. That's an example of an area where we can take these models like Pfizer, reinforce the model with other major players like Pfizer, and have a meaningful, direct commitment that is very measurable to every one of these businesses over the next period of years. We need to continue to use that, and that is the kind of example we're going to use in that regard.
Nationally, the economy has been slowing, and some economists are using the R word. What is your forecast for how Wisconsin is going to do in the next year or so?
Well, the governor has come out and stated very clearly that we are in challenging time, and that's an excellent word. But during challenging times, there are always businesses that do well. And sometimes during challenging times, the very innovative companies continue to look at the opportunities and they figure out how to continue to actually excel. So there's no question that we have a challenge in front of us. Wisconsin's fortunate. We don't typically have the deep, deep valleys. And we don't typically have the high hills like you see on some of the coasts. Our consistency, our traditional businesses, our manufacturing roots, our strength of export, that are all coming from the governor's original Grow Wisconsin initiatives and the help of a lot of entrepreneurial individuals, I think continue to give us a very, very strong base in Wisconsin. But it is a challenging time. You look at all of the numbers. Our housing numbers are much more moderate than many of the states around us. Our financial institutions are very, very strong, which are important partners. And then, as I mentioned, you go to a company like I was at in Oshkosh last week, Marvel. Marvel grew from $11 million to $30 million in 3 years. Marvel's problem or challenges are not a tough economy. It's to continue to put out high-quality product at a pace that meets their clients' expectations. They tell me their pipeline is full, they're growing, they're adding jobs. They hope to add another, I think, 28 to 48 jobs in the next period of months. And those are great examples during very difficult times how businesses can still flourish with some strategy and some structure behind them. And there's a great group of entrepreneurially thinking and global players out there that are doing extremely well even during these challenging times.
Maybe it's just a small component of that, Jack. I don't know how many people know that it's one of your department responsibilities to deal with housing assistance for low and moderate income residents in this state, which, to the extent that kind of nudges into workforce housing, is a very important component of the overall economic picture here.
Yes.
What are you seeing in terms of the demand for that type of assistance, and what are you hearing from employers in terms of the effect of housing on their ability to attract and retain employees?
That's a great question. Two things. I mean, because I am here literally 14 weeks, I can't tell you from a comparison historical perspective whether those numbers have changed as such, so I'm not going to go down that path of trying to answer that. But I can tell you this. We have a wonderful broad-based group of business development people that are out there in an economic development profile across the state. They touch all the lives of the economic and regionalized economic development leadership in the counties, the cities, the states, the local governments that feed into them. Each 2 weeks, we get a chance to look at the requests for the funding and support, and we constantly have a balance of knowing that great economies flourish when you have good educational initiatives, when you have the strength and reasonableness in your housing sector, when you have strong financial support. But when you actually complement that with really reasonably strong communities, we're blessed in Wisconsin. When you look at the quality of our people, the uniqueness and the innovativeness of our people, the safe environments in our communities, the ACT and SAT scores of our high school graduates, the number of kids that are moving and going from high school to college, it's just a combination of wonderful, rich pieces that come together that allow us to continue to have really good communities for people to stay and to live and to grow and to work. So our programs are set up to support many of these communities that are soft, and we'll continue to do that where they make good sense.
I want to make sure we get some questions from the audience here. And Joe, would you be willing to pass the mic so we make sure we get the questions on tape? Thank you. Joel, there,
question I have, Jack, is we're here in Madison, which is somewhat recession-proof, as you alluded to, but you look at Nakusa, Wisconsin lost a paper mill, or is losing a paper mill. Port Edwards is losing a paper mill, 500 jobs going away. Niagara is closing a paper mill. The economy's changing, the industries are changing. Governor Doyle came out and said, we're going to provide training for these people that are losing their jobs. We can train these people, but they're going to have to move away because there isn't jobs in Nakusa or Port Edwards or Wisconsin Rapids. How do you attack those issues, as Neil alluded to also, attracting other industries to Wisconsin? Because we do have great workforce. Any ideas on those issues?
Well, it's a good question. That's obviously a tough question, but I can give you a few comments. First of all, in my previous life, I was a part of a company that was one of the top three leaders in the paper industry in the world. This transition is taking place globally. It's not something that's just happening in Wisconsin. The last 10 years in the pulp and paper and related allied industries, there's been a continuous change in what they're trying to do strategically. It's not unlike many other businesses that went from a very broad group of numbers and counts globally or nationally to a handful of companies that are now competing globally. You're seeing this continued refinement, and you're seeing, as a part of that refinement, you're seeing investment and decision-making that's being looked at from a global perspective today versus being looked at from a Midwestern perspective or a national perspective. So the transition and process there in the paper industry is there. It's real. There's many people in the room here that have touched that over their lives, and it will continue. What the governor's initiatives do is to try to complement not only the strategies of these businesses and to try to help them over time, and of course we must step in and help these individual employees that, due to the strategies of the companies, are making these changes. We need to help them retrain, because education is a key to anybody in their life. The more educated our workforce is, the more flexible the workforce will be, the more dynamic that workforce will be, and the more opportunities that workforce will have. So when the governor steps in with those initiatives after businesses have made a decision to change or close or leave, that's very important work. But the second piece that people like ourselves inside of commerce look at, we look at are what are these strategies, and how are they moving, and how are they changing? And can we help at all with that changing mix and dynamic of those locations? And I can tell you that Commerce has participated under the direction of the governor to look at the strategies long-term for these locations, to take a look at any mixed-use opportunities that might exist, to take a look at as to whether or not there are any other developer profiles that make great sense at some of these locations, and to also make sure that we bring the strength of the collaborative connection of companies to the table to allow them to continue to look at second life at these locations, and there are many of these initiatives underway, which will give continued jobs to these sites under a different fashion, under a different mix of business, and under a different profile. Some of the communities, it's extremely challenging. But some of you are aware of things like at Park Falls, where there's an initiation there in the bio world to convert and to deal with some transitions, which will save jobs and grow jobs and move jobs. There are programs working here with companies like New Page that's received this national grant of $30-some million, who are now looking at the ability as to how do they use that grant in what form and what fashion. And we are connected with all of that conversation. We bring different businesses to the table. The governor is a strong proponent of doing everything we possibly can to support that. But if you go back to the original comment that I made, these are globally changing times, not just in Wisconsin, every single place in the United States and around the world. And as a part of that, these companies will continue to make these decisions, and we have to be proactive and do everything we can to think hand in hand with them and to work with them. On that level, we work very, very closely with the Wisconsin Paper Council. In 14 weeks, I've had 3 meetings with them, including their strategic planning board and their leadership groups. At the same time, during that time, we will engage and work with them in the strategic thought process that reinforces the paper industry where we can throughout the state of Wisconsin. We also look at collaborative efforts, where we're bringing in some of the best and the brightest players in the world who are leaders in these sectors to make sure that we're looking at any and all alternatives to continue to keep these as strong as they can be. So we're in a very collaborative sense. The governor has a strong commitment to these businesses, and Commerce and the Department of Transportation and the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Administration and all of our leadership will continue to be engaged in a teaming sense to help them where we can. Other good questions?
Jack, you just mentioned the DOT. We're going to be coming up on a one-year anniversary of that collapse of the bridge in Minnesota. I'm just curious, what, if any, is the reinvestment plan that Commerce will be trying to put through with DOT on our infrastructure and the upgrades, bridges, roads, throughout all of Wisconsin?
Good. Who are you with?
Bachman Construction. We're not a road builder, so.
See? Did I know or not? Right? That comes from being in the architectural engineering world for 33 years. You know the voice. The honest answer to that is really as a Department of Transportation-driven initiative, and that Commerce does not supplement traditionally in that world. We are primarily motivated, you know, not in the retail world or in the commercial world as such. Our primary focus sits in the jobs creation, focusing in the manufacturing sector strongly, and the new and the research and those components. But I can assure you that when you look at the dollars and the support and the kind of commitment that our secretary has done in transportation, you look at some of the leadership positions that we've taken, it is being considered and looked at and will strongly, I'm sure, be engaged over the life of the administration. I don't have any latest report or information relevant to what the spending plans are in that regard, but know that it's under great leadership. Any other questions? I apologize for my attire today. I was out on a couple of job sites in the snow and the wind and the rain and the good stuff. It was a pouring rain yesterday when I drove down. It was quite exciting for me.
You are appropriately attired.
Thank you. Yes. Very good. Thank you.
Another question for the secretary? Well, I'm just going to ask one more because we just in the few minutes we have left, and I want you to talk a little bit about Milwaukee. I mean, clearly, it's just one of the biggest challenges we face as a state. Their economy is critical to the welfare of this state, and I just wonder what specific strategies you would address as far as Milwaukee is concerned.
Well, there are a number of initiatives. There's a two-page list that's been out there that the governor has done in a very, very supportive way for Milwaukee. The governor knows how important and critical Milwaukee is, and everything from infrastructure to transportation. When you talk about transportation, I think the numbers are staggering what we're spending and continue to support. It's just wonderful around the interchange activities and the importance that are taking place there. But I've, in my 14 weeks, have had the opportunity to reach out to the M7 leadership, to talk to the Milwaukee leadership groups that are supporting all the different programs. And there are a number of outstanding initiatives that are taking place for the Milwaukee region. We are developing some new cluster concepts around the water resource activities that are so strong and so powerful for the state. We've recently watched as some of the international companies come and invest and purchased some of our leading class water resource companies in the state of Wisconsin to grow this initiative. Our fresh water resources here in the state are phenomenal. The University of Wisconsin Milwaukee is doing some really leadership initiatives around their growth and programs in the state, in the Milwaukee region. And I have a number of programs and meetings that are scheduled for the next months ahead that are going to have a direct impact on continued growth and support for Milwaukee projects. Many of these that you know, when we meet and we're in what we call a confidential mode with these businesses, they're centered around trade secrets and other things that go hand in hand with economic development. But I can tell you there's some really exciting initiatives when you talk with like the City of Milwaukee planners and the groups that are driving many of these programs. on the Park East program, all the new hotel, motel redevelopment activity that's going on there. There are some wonderful stories to look at that have taken place inside of the Milwaukee region the last 5 years. It is critical. The governor has given it a very high profile, and we're going to continue to do what we can with our small tool chests, support that and complement that where it's appropriate. We do have very limited resources inside our state of Wisconsin tool chest. We need all of you. When I go out in this short period of time, I'm competing with Kentucky and Texas and Missouri and Illinois and Iowa and Michigan and Minnesota. I can tell you today, we have roughly 27 to 40 programs at any one time that are different in varying degrees in the pipeline of work that are looking at growing in Wisconsin, expanding in Wisconsin, moving to Wisconsin, or investing in Wisconsin. We have to take a look and say to ourselves, but for our participation, would they come here? That's an important element for us. It's the but-for test when we support programs and initiatives. It's a part of how we're structured in the state. So when we look at all these programs, we look at our limited tools, we look at the support that we have, and there's a wonderful list of these, but many of these programs are 10 and 15 and 20 years old. We have to put that together and match those programs up with where we think we will be the most valuable long-term for the state of Wisconsin. And that's, there's a certain amount of art in that process as well. But we have just an exceptional, experienced group of people inside of Commerce that are doing a good job for the state.
Thanks, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Good seeing you.